Praise the King. He's alive. Isn't that a great thought? He is alive indeed, and He is in this place. I think sometimes it's easy to forget that He is here. He is alive, and we worship Him, we praise Him, and we come to meet with Him this morning. Have you ever been asked to do something really difficult? Now, I'm not talking about something that means breaking the law or anything like that. Have you ever been asked, or you feel that God has been asking you to do something that just seems out of your league or what you are capable of doing? Sometimes God asks us to do things that we'd really rather not do. I kind of want you to either picture, you can write it down if you want to, but I want you to think of the most important thing in your life. What is the most important thing in your life? Now, okay, I better stop here for a second. God and Jesus are not the answers I'm looking for. All right? They're good answers. They're great answers. Those should be the right answers. But I know that, you know, we're in church, so those are kind of the ones that you go, apparently that's what we should be saying. If we need to, we'll put it, what is the second most important thing in your life then? What is that thing in your life that you just couldn't live without? I want you to think about that for a second. Now, what would you do if God came to you and said, I want you to give that up? Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's a car or it's that new toy or whatever it is that you have that is really important to you. But God comes and says, you know what, I want you to give all of that up. What would you do in that moment right then? Would you be able to do it? See, I think sometimes we think that to be a Christian is this really simple life where it's God blesses me in everything that I do. But actually, the life of the believer is a life of obedience, immovable obedience. And imagine if God came to you today, and you know, I hear this a lot, you know, I love this area, I love these people, I love our church, I love all of this. But imagine if God today said to you, I want you to sell everything that you have, and I just want you to go. Would you be able to do that? Some of us are going, well, yeah, I'd do that in a heartbeat. But I think sometimes that's some hard things. Today we're going to look at what I would consider to probably be one of the hardest moments of obedience that God asked a person. Believe it or not, it's not Daniel this week. We're going to be in Genesis. So take your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis 22, and we're going to look at a story, a very common story that again, it's one that we've heard all throughout time. If you've been in church any length of time, you've heard the story of Abraham and Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. It's titled in the beginning, Abraham is Tested. Genesis 22. You have your Bibles, that's the first book of the Bible, so it should be the easy one to find. Starting at verse 1, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, The Lord Will Provide. And to this day it is said, On the mountain, the Lord, it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities and of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together to Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Let's pray. Father, as we take a look at this story, we see a situation that required a huge amount of obedience. And at times you may be asking us to do things that would require the same. As we look into this story, would you open our eyes to see what it looks like to be immovable in our obedience to you? We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. In this story, I have to say that this is a test that I would not want to experience. You know what is interesting, though, is it actually says here, right in the beginning, it says that God tested Abraham. This was not God punishing Abraham for anything. This was not God deciding to just flex his God muscles and show his power and authority over Abraham. It wasn't a situation where Abraham deserved this. God was simply testing Abraham's faith. Now, if you look at Abraham, one of the things that you would say is, by all accounts, Abraham probably would have been one of the most godly men that you had ever known at that point in time. You probably would have noticed that this was a guy who always sought God for everything. He loved the Lord. This would have been the guy, if he was in the church today, he would have been the guy that knew the Bible. He would have been at every prayer meeting. He would have been tithing to the church. He would have been volunteering in many different ones. He probably would have been an elder in the church and probably the head elder in the church, because that was just the guy who Abraham was. And in this moment, it says that God was testing Abraham. What was he testing? It was really just simply his love for God. Abraham, I gave you your son Isaac. Is Isaac more important than me? Now understand the reality of the miracle child of Isaac. You see, Abraham and Sarah were unable to have children. She was barren. She was not able to have children. And you read this story prior to this, but at the age of 99, Sarah has a child. Her only child, Isaac. So you can imagine, if you have that miracle child, how are you going to treat that child? What are you going to do? They're going to be the most important thing in your life. And we actually even see this in the life of Abraham and Sarah, excuse me, that Isaac becomes their everything. And so God tests Abraham. Abraham, has Isaac become God to you? Abraham's obedience is tested. Now, there's something that we need to understand. Obedience is not a choice. Sometimes we think that we can choose obedience, right? You know, if we're asked to do something, we have a choice. We can do it or we can't do it. But when we look at this story, obedience is not a choice. It's a requirement. As a follower of Christ, we are to obey. So as we look at this idea of immovable obedience, what are some of the things that we can glean from the story? What are some of the things that are required in immovable obedience? Well, the first thing that we see is simply this. Immovable obedience requires immediate obedience. Immediate obedience. In the story, you see this. God comes to Abraham in the night and he says, here's what I want you to do. He lays it out. I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and I want you to go to the place where I will show you, and I want you to sacrifice him. Right there it says, early the next morning. Early the next morning. Wow. You know, one of the things that we often find is when we don't like to do something, what do we do with it? If we're asked to do something, we kind of delay it, don't we? You know, if you're at work and guys, your wife calls you up and says, you know, it's been a long day. Can you stop someplace and just pick up dinner on the way home? What do you do? You're like, oh, yeah, what do you want? I'm on that one right away. You're willing to do that, okay? You get home and she goes, it's been a long day. Would you do the dishes? Yeah, I'm getting right on that. You know, it's amazing what we do is all of a sudden we're like, you know, I kind of need to do this. Or what we'll do is we'll find something else that we need to do, right? There's something else that I have to get done. And so all of a sudden we delay obedience. We might look at it, but we procrastinate on it. Well, one of the things that I've found in life is this. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. The story of Abraham is so fascinating because it says that early the next morning, he got up and he immediately started doing it. You notice what he doesn't do. He doesn't go, you know what? I think I had a bad falafel last night. I need to wait and make sure that this is really what God was saying. Maybe just a couple more nights. And you know what? I'll pray about it. I'll seek him a little bit more, and maybe he'll give me another sign. You know, he'll tell me again or something. It doesn't say that. As a matter, it just says early the next morning, Abraham obeyed immediately. Not a simple question, but he obeyed immediately. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest book in the Bible. Or the longest chapter in the Bible. And one of the things that we read in here in this chapter, it's all about God's commands, God's law, the Word of God. And it's about the psalmist's love for the Word. And when you're in Psalm 119, you can go to verse 59 through and 60. And look what the psalmist says about obedience. Psalm 119, 59. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. I like that. I will hasten and I will not delay. You know, this is the heart. That's the heart that I want to have. I want to have the heart of the psalmist in that. It says, you know what, I will hasten and I will not delay. I'm going to do it as quickly and as soon as I possibly can. But one of the things that I find that's so easy to do is to be nonchalant with the Word of God. We read it and we go, you know what, yeah, that makes sense. You know, there's some good stuff in there. But it doesn't grab us to the place where we say, I have to do this right now. Take, for example, the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. Go into all the world and make disciples, right? Does that passage grip my heart to the place where I can't help it? Do I truly see that there are people out there at this very moment who are living on the very edge, the precipice of a cliff, that when they go over that edge, it is eternal hell? Do I have any care about that? You see, and this is what the psalmist is saying. You know what? When those commands, God, when your statutes are there, I will not delay, because delayed obedience is still disobedience. There's something that we often say in life, and I know it's all too common in my life. It's, I'll get to it. Do you ever say that? There's a t-shirt out there that I think is a great t-shirt, and one day I'll probably get it. But it says, procrastinators unite tomorrow. And a lot of times that's kind of how we kind of view life. It's like, you know what, got to get on it. I'm going to get on it. I'll get on it. It'll probably be tomorrow. But I found this out, that when I do that, I will get to it usually turns into it doesn't get done. I need to pray about it usually turns into I don't feel God is calling me into it after all. But if it's consistent with the Word of God, obedience should be immediate. We see that in Abraham. We not only see that it's immediate obedience, but immovable obedience also requires faith-filled obedience. Faith-filled obedience. Now, this is the incredible part of this story. Oftentimes, we look at this story, or we even look at obedience, and think that obedience usually equals loss. Right? If I am going to obey, then I'm going to lose something. Kids, when mom and dad tells you to clean your room, you're losing out on time with your friends or video games or whatever it is. You know, all these things. When we are told that we need to tell someone about Jesus, share the gospel, all of a sudden we think, I could lose out on my on respect. They will lose respect for me, and I'll become that crazy weird guy and they'll make fun of me. You know, I don't need to follow some of those things because I'll lose out. And a lot of times we may even think, you know, we don't put those words there, but a lot of times we think obedience equals loss. And even look at this story, and we could go, this story proves that point. Because God was commanding Abraham to do what? To sacrifice his son. And that would have been a huge loss to Abraham. This is the idea. He's going, this is my only son. This is the son in our old age. My wife was barren. I'm going to sacrifice my... It's done. I don't have another heir. But I want you to see the words of Abraham, because they are filled with faith. In verse 5, Abraham comes to the place where he saw, and it says in verse 5 that he turned to the servants and he says, you guys wait here. The boy and I will go up to worship, and what? We will return. Well, that's an easy statement to just glaze over. Yep, we're going to go up, we're going to do this, and we're going to return. But look at what he says. We will return. He doesn't say, we're going to go up and do this, and then I'll return. He says, we will return. Also, if you go to verse 8, look what he says there. Now they're going up the mountain, and Isaac is noticing something. He's going, Dad, something's missing here. We've got the wood, we've got the fire, but we don't have the sacrifice. And Abraham says, God will provide. God himself will provide a sacrifice. Now, was that Abraham simply saying, you know what, buddy, it's you. I just don't have the guts to tell you right now that you're the sacrifice. Or is that a faith-filled statement of Abraham saying that I know that God is going to do something here? You understand that this was the son of the promise. This was the one that God said, Abraham, I will give you a son, and through this son a nation will rise. And he knew that this was the only opportunity. Abraham had come to the place where he's going, I know that God is going to do something here. He's got to do something. He showed incredible faith. But you know, there's also Isaac in this story. This is one that we also often overlook. Look at the faith of Isaac in this. Because in this moment, Abraham was over 100 years old. Isaac was a young man. He was probably stronger than his dad. And all of a sudden it says that Abraham ties him up. You know, Isaac really could have made this a big problem for Abraham. But he obeyed himself. And by faith, Isaac trusted his father because his father trusted in God. Throughout the Bible, we see this idea of faith-filled obedience. It's everywhere, on almost every page. But you go to Hebrews chapter 11, and it's called The Roll Call of Faith is one of the titles of that. And Hebrews 11, you get story after story of, and every one of these, it says, by faith, this person did this. Look at just a couple of these. In Hebrews chapter 11, at verse 7, it says these words, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Noah, faith-filled. Because understand, he had never seen rain before. He was not living on a lake. He didn't know what water really was for that much because it hadn't happened yet. And all of a sudden here he is building a cruise ship in the middle of dry land. By faith, Noah. Then you look in verse 8 and it goes to Abraham again. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to the place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Abraham, this is earlier than what we're talking in the text today, but could you imagine if God just simply came to you and says, hey, guess what? I want you to leave everything. Sell your home, sell your cars, do whatever you need to do, and then I want you to go down to the airport, and you're going to buy a ticket, and I'll tell you which ticket you're going to go, and that's what you're just going to go do. That's basically what he said to Abraham. Just get up and go. And Abraham did. By faith. Hebrews 11:30. This one I love. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around it for 7 days. You know, this is the worst battle plan in battle history. You know, could you imagine if some guy, some general today goes up and he sits down with the field general and he says, I got a great idea for you. We're going to go and we're going to walk around our enemy for 7 days and then we're going to blow trumpets and shout at him and we're going to win. You've heard of dishonorably discharged, right? My guess is that would not go over very well. And my guess is because Joshua was a military leader, when this came to him, he had to be looking at this and going, really? This is what you're asking us to do? But by faith, Joshua got the people of Israel to walk around the city, and they were faith-filled, obedient to God. Immovable obedience will always be faith-filled obedience because a lot of times it doesn't make any sense. When God asks us to do things, sometimes it doesn't add up. So we know that it takes us immediate obedience. Because delayed obedience is disobedience. We know that it's going to be faith-filled, but we see a third part of this in the story of Abraham and Isaac of complete obedience. As I said just a moment ago, delayed obedience is still disobedience. Partial obedience is also disobedience. Partial obedience is also, and this is where we see in the story of Abraham, how easy would it have been for Abraham to do this? You know what? I know what God said, but I'm going to bring a goat along just in case. He could have brought that and he could have said, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to bring this. Maybe God at some point in time will realize. But what he did is he did it completely what God had asked him, even to the point where he had him tied, he had him on the altar. And it was at the moment that Abraham had the knife raised and was about to plunge it into his own son that God stopped it. And at that moment, there was no sacrifice at that point in time. Abraham held nothing back right up to the moment that God stopped him. Obedience will often cost something that we don't want to give up. It's true that in our lives we see obedience as loss at times because God is going to require much of us in those things. And you know, as you're going with this, this is this idea. Sometimes I don't want to do the whole thing. This is actually, I've shared my testimony with you, but this was a part of my thing. I had told God, I don't want to be a pastor. Actually, I didn't say I don't want to be a pastor. I said, I'm not going to be a pastor. From a child, from a young age, as a teenager, I had come to the place, and it wasn't because bad things happened to me, none of that. I just sat there and I went, I've lived in the ministry. My dad was a pastor. God, I will live for you. I love you. I have no qualms with that. I will serve you in my life, but I'm just not going to do it as a pastor. So what did I do? I went to college, and I said, you know what? I'm going to kind of obey. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into psychology, and I'm going to become a Christian clinical psychologist so I could sit down with people and I can talk to them about Jesus and I can help them with the things that they're dealing with. And really, I'm obeying God, right? Because I'm going to be giving them biblical principles. I'm going to be leading them in that way. Well, partial obedience is still disobedience. That wasn't what God was asking. It's not what God was asking me, and in times, that's not what God is asking us. Is partial obedience okay? Think about this. You think about partial obedience, and we're like, you know, sometimes it would be so hard. If you go to your child and you say, I want you to go and clean your room. It's a pigsty. You walk in there an hour later, and their room is only half clean. What do you say? Oh, little Susie, good job. You got half of your room cleaned. I think it's time to go to McDonald's. No, you say to them, I said to clean your room. In our house, it was called Mommy Clean. And that was when it said it needs to be Mommy Clean, that means it had to be clean, everything. There was no in between. If there was something laying in the floor, you still have not done it. If you are, say, a person that ran a business, a store of some sort or whatever, and you say to your employees, I want you to go and stock the shelves, and you come back at the end of their shift and they're sitting there having fun in the aisles and the shelves are one-third stocked, do you praise them and go, guys, good job. You got one-third of it stocked. You know what? You guys deserve a vacation. No. Partial obedience is still disobedience. In Luke 6:46, Jesus says these words, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? That is a phrase that I never want to hear from God. To sit there and to say, you know what, I know you go to church, you sing the songs, you sing about how much you love me, praise to the King, but then you don't obey completely. Jesus poses an interesting question, which actually, to be honest with you, I've struggled with this parable. In Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32, Jesus poses a question and he says these words, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. And he answered, I will, sir. But then he didn't go. Which of the two did what the father wanted? Well, the first, they answered. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe. I read that, and my question comes up, which one was obedient? And my answer, actually, I go, technically, they both disobeyed. Immediate obedience was not by the first one. And the second one didn't even do it at all. Yet the first one is the one that finally obeyed. But obedience, immovable obedience, always requires complete obedience. And in the Old Testament, you actually see this a lot. When God is dealing with the people of Israel, a lot of times you will notice a phrase that is fairly common. As they were preparing to go into the Promised Land, he didn't say to them, you know what, if you obey some of my commands, he would say, if you obey all my commands, then I will do this. As a matter of fact, one of those is found in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible. This is the law that God is laying down. And he says to them in Deuteronomy 5, 28 and 29, he says, the Lord heard you when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, this is Moses, I have heard what this people said to you. Everything they said was good. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever. Do you see the two words there? Oh, that they would, or their hearts would be inclined to me, and they would keep all my commands always. You notice what he says. This is complete obedience. I'm not asking the children of Israel to give me partial obedience. I am asking for complete obedience. I can tell you that every time that I read this story of Abraham, I find myself asking this question. Could I do what Abraham did? I can be honest with you, this would be the hardest decision in my life. You're asking me to give up my child. But why? Why was Abraham able to do this? It's one simple answer. He knew his God. See, Abraham didn't just know of God. He knew God personally. He had built up this relationship with God, and it was such that he knew that God would come through in the end. Understand the five questions that we asked earlier. Do you know why those are important questions? Because the more that we engage in those five areas of spiritual growth, the more we know God personally, and the more we know God personally, the more we're able to live in obedience. James, in James chapter 1, verses 22 and 25, he puts it this way. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in all they do. Here's the point of Abraham. Abraham understood that obedience to God also would result in God's faithfulness towards Abraham. He knew that in the end, God would work it out for his good. I've had some that have come to me and said, you know what, Pastor? I don't believe that Abraham even thought he was going to have to kill his son. And I go, you know what? I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. He had the knife raised. He was ready to plunge it. But this I do believe, that Abraham knew the promise of God. Abraham knew the power of God because he had given him the miracle son. That Abraham knew full well that if that knife had to come down and that he had to strike his own son, take his own son and sacrifice him, that God would give him Isaac back. He knew who God was, and he knew that God would be faithful in return. So, complete obedience, faith-filled obedience, immediate obedience. Let me ask this question. What might God be asking you to do? What might God be asking you to do? You know, it's interesting because a lot of times we know exactly what God has been asking us to do. What is it? Are we obeying Him immediately? Are you obedient to Him in faith? And are you being completely obedient to the call that He has on your life? Then and only then can we be immovable for the kingdom of God because of our obedience. as we close, I want you to think about that question that I asked in the beginning. What is the most important thing in your life right now? Is God asking you to put that on the altar and sacrifice it to Him? If you don't know what that is at this moment, then I encourage you to write down that question. What are you asking me to do? And this week, seek God. Because when we are obedient to God, He will be faithful to us. Always. Let's pray. Father, this is a difficult story. And oftentimes when I read it, I realize how short that I come. It's easy to say that I want the comfortable Christian life. I want the blessings. I want to enjoy this time when we're in church and we sing songs of praise. But don't ask me to do something hard. But Lord, I want to be obedient to You. I want to be like Abraham. I want to be like David. I want to be like Joshua. I want to be like those who knew that You were calling them to something specific and something greater for the kingdom. And I want to be able to obey immediately, faithfully, and completely. Lord, whatever it is that You need to do in our lives, would You do it? Would You draw us to You? And would You use us to change the world? We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen.